Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Holy God, Holy Mighty, Holy Immortal, have mercy on us. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and ever, into the ages of ages. Amen. Good morning and praise the Lord. Today is Monday, May 6th, 2024, Renewal Monday. Great Lent is behind us, and it was wonderful. It was a beautiful period of fasting and refreshment, reflection. There's always so many blessings that come from fasting. Denial of self, bringing the flesh under subjection, and also that food, when we broke the fast, was pretty good too. I'm not gonna lie. It was actually my very first Lent of any kind. I'm 47 years old, and although I did have the blessing of going to church as a child and all throughout my adulthood, that was a good thing, but I was never exposed to any type of Catholic or Orthodox traditions. It was always the Protestant or the mega church. Actually was part of Messianic Jewish synagogue for a while, and they're all fine, they're all well and good, but they lack that blessing that you get from going through a period of fasting and also suffering along with you go to church, and you know that everybody else is going through the same thing. They're going through the same physical challenges of having a strict diet. And they're going through the same type of renewal within. And it was lovely. It was really lovely. Actually, when Great Lent began in March, I was on the road. I was in Virginia visiting my son. And so we were not prepared for Great Lent at all. We were not prepared for having the diet. You really have to plan ahead to have to if you really want to go full on with the diet. And we just weren't prepared. And I'm the first to admit that I didn't follow the diet strictly at all. I did my best when I was by myself. I didn't have meat or the dairy or the many things that are restricted according to the diet. But when I was with family and meat was put in front of me, I ate it because that's just the courteous thing to do. That's polite. That's being hospitable. I didn't want to put my faith on a pedestal and create any type of tension or holier than thou type of attitude at all. That is the last thing that I want to do. So when someone put a dish in front of me that had ground beef in it, well, I ate it and I was nourished by it. Eventually I got to the point where I decided I'm going to take this seriously. My wife is not Orthodox. She's supportive of me being Orthodox. I'm a brand new, I use the word transition to Orthodox. I just transitioned to Orthodoxy. And so this is all new to me. My wife is not Orthodox, but she's supportive of it. And she, you know, she complied with my requests to have the diet the way it is. And she was supportive of me going to church more often than usual, especially during Holy Week. And I believe that she was blessed by it. She fasted along with me. Privately, she probably had things that I didn't have, but that's fine. That's her decision. But she was supportive. And by the end of Great Lent, I can say with confidence that I did comply with the fasting, with the diet, to the best of my ability. Now, there were times I did some more traveling, and I went to the grocery store and had a broccoli salad, and I think I tasted bacon in it. I didn't see bacon in it, but I tasted what it tasted. I know what bacon tastes like, and I tasted bacon. So it's possible that I had some bacon unbeknownst to me, but that's very different from going to the Brazilian steakhouse and filling your face with beef and pork, lamb. Those are good restaurants. I like those. But it's certainly not appropriate when you're observing a fast during Great Lent. So all that to say is that by the time Great Lent was over, I was far more invested into the church. And I say in all humility that I believe that I was closer to God when Lent ended than when it began. And that is the point of Lent, isn't it? It's not to follow a bunch of rules or have a legalistic approach to diet, saying if you eat this, then you've sinned and you need to repent. It's possible that, like, if you do go to the Brazilian steakhouse, yeah, I would say that's a sin. But if you're visiting someone and they have a dish with ground beef in it, and you eat it to be polite, what I'm saying is that it's not a matter of a legalistic approach to your life. The point of fasting is to get closer to God. And by that metric, Great Lent was a great success for me, because I do believe that I felt and was closer to God, closer to Christ, more reliant on the Spirit and less reliant on the flesh than when Lent began. So it was a victory. It was a great victory. But now Lent is over, and we're getting back to our old ways, and in many ways, the old ways are better than when Lent began, because you develop better habits with eating. You realize, I actually feel good eating this way. I think I want more of this, so maybe I'll incorporate meat into my diet again, but I'm going to stick more or less to this. Maybe it's going to be a plant-based diet with meat added in versus a meat-based diet with a couple of veggies on the side. Maybe that's the way to go. We'll see. Time will tell. But I do know how I feel physically, and it's a lot better than when I started the fast. Today is Monday, May 6th, 2024, and we are going to discuss Job the prophet, and then we will hear three scripture readings from Luke, Acts, and John. Job the prophet, this faithful servant of God, the most perfect icon of all virtue, and especially of patience, was the son of Zer and Bosora, and was the fifth from Abraham. He was true, blameless, just, devout, and abstained from every evil thing. He was very wealthy and blessed by God in all things, as was none other of the inhabitants of the land of Ausis, his homeland, which lies between Idumea and Arabia. But by divine permission, that he be tried, he was suddenly deprived of his children, wealth, glory, and every consolation, and was covered with grievous sores all over his body. Some say that he endured courageously in this unparalleled calamity for 7 whole years. Then, by divine blessing, he was restored again to a prosperity even more illustrious than the first. Having lived after his affliction for 170 years, he reposed full of days at the age of 240 in the year 1350 BC. Others say that his affliction lasted only 1 year, and that he lived thereafter 140 years, living 210 years altogether. All Holy Trinity, have mercy on us. Lord, forgive our sins. Master, pardon our transgressions. Holy One, visit and heal our infirmities for your name's sake. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, both now and forever, and to the ages of ages. Amen. Our first reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 12 through 19. The Lord said to his disciples, "Beware of men who will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be a time for you to bear testimony. Settle it therefore in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up even by parents and brothers and kinsmen and friends, and some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all men, you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance you will gain your lives." The epistle reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands upon some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. The very night when Herod was about to bring him out, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. And he struck Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up, quickly." And the chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, "Wrap your mantle around you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and the second guard, they came to the iron gate leading into the city. It opened to them of its own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street. And immediately the angel left him. And Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." Our third reading is from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 18 through 28. "No one has ever seen God, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. And this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed," he did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They said to him then, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. But among you stands one whom you do not know, even he who comes after me, the thong of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." This took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Heavenly King, Comforter, Spirit of Truth, present everywhere and filling all things, Treasury of blessings and Giver of life, come and abide in us. Cleanse us from every stain, and save our souls, gracious Lord. I want to share for you a quote from St. John Chrysostom about marriage. "Have no concern for money. Love your wife more than you love your own life. Never be at odds, but be true. prefer her company at home above being out, esteem and admire her publicly, and advise her patiently. Pray together, go to church, discuss the readings and the prayers. If your marriage is like this, your perfection will rival the holiest of monks. Again, that is attributed to the great saint, Saint John Chrysostom. My name is James Newcomb. Thank you for pressing play on today's episode of Good Morning and Praise the Lord. I hope that this mini liturgy gives you a bit of comfort, structure to begin your day. That's the goal of this podcast, is to just help you get your day right. Victory begins in the morning, as one of my mentors used to say. And there is no more important time of the day than the morning. That's make or break, depending on who you ask. Find us on the web at gmptl.org. gmptl.org. And we will close today's episode, as we do every morning, with the Lord's Prayer. Thank you for listening. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.